AM 1450, Rutherford County's place to talk. WGNS, Murfreesboro, your good neighbor station. This is The Truman Show with Truman Jones. A look at the politics, news, sports, and people that are shaping Rutherford County. Now your host, Truman Jones.
Good afternoon, Rutherford County. I want to let you know the first part of the show is brought to you by Pirtle and Howerton Automotive. And they're at 2006 North Main Street in Shevelville, Tennessee. And if you're looking for a Ford, Mercury, Chevrolet, Buick, or GMC right here at this new year, that's the place to go. You can give them a call at 1-800-264-6800 or pull them up on the internet, PirtleHowerton.com. Or better yet, take a 25-minute drive from Murfreesboro into almost downtown Shevelville. It'll be on your left. Go in. Talk to the nice people, and I'll guarantee you, you'll have a day that's well worth spent. And this is going to be there's a lot of special things going on today. Bart took got Dan Whittle with us, and he took us to eat today. Bart Walker did, spent a little money. And the reason he did that, this was the first anniversary of our radio show. Happy and you were my very first guest 1 year ago today.
And things have gone straight up since then.
Yes, they have.
So happy anniversary. Congratulations.
In fact, a lot of people told me it couldn't go anywhere but up after you were on my show. And I really appreciate that. And while we were there, we ran into Mr. Fane Haynes' family. And he is having a birthday today.
Big 9-0.
It's hard to believe because he sure doesn't look like he's 90
years old. World War II hero.
Yes, yes.
Prisoner of war.
Yeah.
A remarkable man.
Yes, he is. And continues to be so. And we have Mr. Mike Vinson on today. And he's also a journalist. And I would consider you a journalist at the highest level, Mike.
I appreciate that kudo, Truman. That means a lot coming from someone like you. And a man like Dan Whittle hearing it, and I'm honored to be on this show today. It's always a pleasure.
It's always a great show when we have journalists on, because if you're going to get the scoop, you got to get it from them. And Dan has come up with another one. I don't know where you get all of this, Dan, but this is a very interesting story, and it continues to be so, because we're talking about John Hinckley. And kind of give me a little bit of background on how you got this story started. Of course, it was in the Murfreesboro Post last Sunday.
Yeah, yesterday. Actually, I owe the story idea to my wife, Pat, and she's gone through some papers. Her deceased husband was an officer at Nashville International Airport when Hinckley was
Mr.
arrested.
Mr. Barnacle.
Mm-hmm. And in some of his papers, she ran across some papers 2 or 3 weeks ago, and she came into the kitchen and said, "This is something you might want to take a look at journalistically." Well, when I saw it, I said, "Do I?" You know, and
laid so, right in your lap.
Yeah, and when I called around, I realized that no one had ever publicized, never been in the media, that Hinckley was actually here stalking President Carter at that time, mm-hmm. in 1980. This was in October 1980, and they arrested Hinckley at Nashville International Airport with three pistols in his suitcase. Then the FBI let him go.
Now, this was in October of, 1980?
1980. Carter was still running for office, re-election. And one of his campaign stops was at the Opryland Hotel.
Now, before we get any further, why did John Hinckley zero in on Carter? And of course, this was what really makes it interesting to me.
Any president would have done for Hinckley. It didn't have anything to do with political outlooks or ideology or anything like that. It was strictly to impress an actress, Jodie Foster. He had a fixation on Jodie Foster, the actress, and he watched her movie Taxi.
Taxi Driver.
Taxi mm-hmm. Driver. He watched that at least 15 times.
Wow.
And took on the personality to some extent of the main character, who was played by Robert De Niro.
Robert De Niro, yeah.
And he, in his mind and his mental condition, he became part of that scene. And he wrote her letters saying that he was going to assassinate either Mr. Carter or Mr. Reagan. Didn't make any difference which one. Just he was going to do that to impress her.
Now, did she ever follow up on all that information that he was giving her?
No.
Because that seems another interesting part of the story, that maybe she just thought he was a nut, which he was.
Yeah, but she never did make contact, never did let him make contact or anything, from what I understand. Mm-hmm. I think he did get to her house one time, but never got in. And
so he made the trip following, I guess, President Jimmy Carter's outline as far as where he was going to do all his politics.
I think he followed Carter from Texas to Nashville to New York.
Uh-huh. Okay. Now, when he got into Nashville, the security really did a great job on this, because when you're talking about somebody like him, completely unknown, no background to follow up on, they did an amazing job. They really did do their job, which shows you that security does work when it's done
well,
right.
Well, the local security officers were on the ball.
Right.
At the airport. The system is what dropped the ball.
Right. Now, we want to let people know that the airport security was under Steve Fitchew at that time, and I think that's one of the reasons that it did work so well, that he was so organized and so professional. He was able to pave the way for the investigation.
Daryl Long, who is the arresting officer, is now chief security here in Murfreesboro. At the judicial building,
right,
for the Rutherford County Sheriff's
Department.
That's
a good department. Job, too.
He actually was the one that arrested Hinckley. And he said he could tell that he had a mental dilemma.
Uh-huh.
And but when they called the FBI, proper procedure, FBI says we're not interested, even though there were three weapons,
mm-hmm,
and 50 bullets in the suitcase. Said turn him over to local jurisdiction. They took him downtown. Booked him into the Metro Jail, and Judge Higgins at Metro Jail set Hinckley's bond at $62.50, which he posted and went on to New York, where he later shot President Reagan.
Of course, we're fortunate enough to have hindsight on all of this, and he had two .22 pistols and a .38, and of course he had the ammunition with him
and a pair of handcuffs.
Yeah. And of course I always wondered why, if he was going to travel with weapons, why did he not check those into the baggage rather than take those on with him? Or did he just didn't he not come in on another flight, or do we know that for sure?
He came in on Delta. He was going to fly out to he did fly out on American to New York, where Carter was going. Carter was left Nashville to attend the United Nations meeting,
mm-hmm,
in New York, and of course he was on his trail. He ended up going on to New York from Nashville.
So somehow he had already traveled from one city to Nashville, and had those weapons there. So mm-hmm, it makes you wonder what happened.
Yeah.
What kind of flaw was there?
Yeah, you know, and like you say, hindsight, but thinking logically about this, very well, the fact that he was arrested in Nashville could have saved the life of Jimmy Carter, because it may have thrown him off schedule,
mm-hmm,
and Carter got out of town before Hinckley could get next to him.
Well, with the FBI not wanting to proceed with the charge or investigate him, evidently they did not have any prior information on him at all.
None at all. And a part of that, you know, it's very difficult for a journalist or law enforcement to obtain mental health records.
Impossible.
Of individuals in America. So you can understand some of this. Now, the FBI, once he shot Reagan in New York or Washington, they put it together.
Mm-hmm.
They suddenly got hot on Hinckley's trail, came back to Nashville. They grabbed the weapons, and I guess they still have the weapons.
It was interesting. Of course, you look at it now and you say, why in the world did Judge Higgins have such a low bond. But you think about it, all they really had him on at the time was possession of a firearm. That was it. They didn't have anything else.
And there were no previous arrest records.
Yeah.
So he was clear there.
So did your article's in the paper Sunday. Did you follow up on that from the time that Carter left here and then Hinckley going on into New York? Were you able to follow up on that?
He got to New York. I don't know what happened between New York and Washington that 5 month interim. In the meantime, in November, of course, Mr. Carter got beat in the election by President Reagan.
Mm-hmm.
Reagan took office in January. So he was the president in office that happened to be in office when Hinckley got close enough to shoot him.
Now, was there any correspondence, any else, just before Reagan was shot? Were you able to find any of that?
He wrote a letter, meaning Hinckley wrote a letter to Jody Foster mm-hmm. in the hotel room and left it laid out, saying that I may not be alive when you read this because I'm fixing... preparing to go shoot President Reagan.
Mm-hmm.
But he wrote extensive letters that probably never got to her, but mm-hmm. They have a lot of that type of information.
That's amazing. Now, you go through all this, and guys like you, y'all come up with some of the best stories. I know, Mike, you were on here with me earlier.
Back in April.
Yeah.
And we were 2011.
Yeah, right. And we were talking about the Martin Luther King assassination and you going to the penitentiary and getting some more information on that. You know, it's almost like writing a mystery story when you guys get started, because you're having to listen to all this information and try to authenticate it and all those type things like that. But when you put it to print in the newspaper, you have to make sure that it's interesting for the people or they're not going to read it.
That's absolutely right. You know, there's an old adage that we often hear, that the truth is stranger than fiction.
Mm-hmm.
And I think in cases like James Earl Ray that I've written about, and Hinckley, which Dan did a fantastic job on, I think the elements there mm-hmm. are just so overwhelming and so pervasive that they if you know how to put them together at all, it's going to tell its own story in a very compelling way.
Right.
One interesting thing about this, I've been semi-retired. I hadn't really had a deadline in 5 years mm-hmm. since I retired in 2006, and I love retirement, by the way. But anyway, I had not been on a earth-breaking story, exciting mm-hmm. story, so to speak, in 5 or 6 years. I could not sleep for 3 nights. Putting this story together.
I remember you calling me, and actually we were supposed to have been on last Monday, but you had to go somewhere, and I was so tickled that we were going to be able to put that story on, and I was kind of deflated, to be perfectly honest with you, when you weren't able to be on last Monday, but we ended up having a great guest.
Yeah, and but this is life, In doing this, I've researched, the lady congressman woman that was shot this
mm-hmm.
year.
Yes.
There's one reason we wanted to visit with Mike today on this subject. You know, this shooting each other, especially movie stars or public figures, political leaders, that's worldwide, and it's been going on since history, in recorded history. So I don't guess we'll ever cease doing this type of stuff.
Well, you know, we live in the United States. We have all these freedoms, and we're used to walking and going where we want to, when we want to, and we never think anything about it. You know, we know that there are some places that you go into that are in harm's way, but, you know, thank goodness we don't think about it. Yeah, that's one thing about it. I know I'm one of those people that could be gone right now, as you well know. But it never crossed my mind again, and it still won't, because if you have responsibilities to do and you have things that you have to take care of from day to day and enjoying being with your friends and those type things, you never worry about that.
You know, I remember you had a stalker. Mm-hmm. In fact, a stalker laid in wait on your property.
Yes.
Hid under some equipment or a building or something, waiting on you to come home to try to shoot you.
Mm-hmm. I'm surprised there hadn't been more of it since I've been on the radio show.
But anyway, but the mood in America, this is one thing that I thought we would talk about. You know, we are hammering each other in the political arenas. We're talking bad trash 24/7 now, around the clock.
Never have seen it as bad as it is now.
It's really to the point, it's neurotic.
It is.
It's irresponsible, it's neurotic. And one thing that sort of gets my goat, I guess you could say, and I wrote about it in the Post, when they come out with all these charges about Herman Cain, all these women coming out with these allegations of sexual misconduct. Well, to me, one thing that I don't like about I think our legal system should be more accountable. You know, these people come out and make these allegations coincidentally at election time when Cain was gaining ground. Of course, Cain's out of it now. But, you know, when you make an allegation against someone that's so nefarious, that it's going to forever label that person.
This is one thing bad about the, I call the internet era that we're in now. You can put anything in out there. There's no retrieving it.
Yeah.
You don't have to prove it.
There's no accountability.
There's no accountability.
And I don't like that. You know, if I make a charge, a defamatory charge against Mr. X or Mrs. Y, and I can't prove it, I think there should be, maybe not literally, but some type of medium there to where, hey, if I have damaged this person by accusing them and the accused is found innocent, then I, the accuser, should have to suffer some type of punishment. Because as I wrote in that one article, you know, it might tighten up some loose tongues.
Let's go say, what if it is true? Why in the world do you bring it out when the campaigns are going good to try to slander someone? Is it done because they have ill will against that person? That's one thing I always look at is what is the reason behind all of these things?
You're probably, it could be politically motivated, Truman, and it could be monetarily motivated.
Power.
I've got to figure that some of these women that have come out against, like Cain, I think you have to at least entertain the possibility that there's going to be some kind of book deal, talk circuit, something. I think that, and I'm not talking about just the Herman Cain thing, anything like that.
You know, the authorities have proven that Congresswoman Gabrielle Gifford was shot as a result of a mental case of negative election rhetoric. They had put her in the crosshairs in political advertising, literally. And this helped trigger that man's sick mind and shot her in the head.
And while you're talking about that, the focus should be on an individual's ability to run our country.
That's right.
It should be, they should have experience, they should have knowledge, they should have ability to arbitrate, talk to other countries. But right now we're in such a bad financial situation, we need somebody up there that can come up with some great ideas, and who I hope is non-political, that can rise above the party system and go in and somebody that's up there just because they're the person that we need at the time. This country has been so blessed over the years that when we have had a crisis in our country, whether it be financial, war, whatever, we've always been able to have that leader that stands out. And that's something that we really need right now. And I wish that somehow we could wipe the slate clean with all the things that's happened before and start listening to some of these people, listen to their ideas, and what is their future plans for our country right now.
Yeah, I agree with that 100%. I think, you know, you again, in the past, you've always had these strong leaders that you put great faith in. Mm-hmm. But I want to thank, you know, and it's sad to say that the collective American public has sort of lost faith in our high echelon leaders.
Well, I think a lot of it is strictly coming from the poison that is being printed and in the airwaves right now.
Absolutely.
And this is a responsibility for all of us to take heed and try to eliminate a lot of that stuff. And let's go to the things that really do count.
That's right.
You stop and think, would you put your family through a national election with what the media is doing today?
No.
Well, these gifted leaders that we're talking about are praying to arrive on the American scene. They're not coming out. They're not going to put their families through that anymore. I wouldn't go through it.
But where in the world do you start? We have to have somebody.
Yeah.
And evidently, there's so much animosity between the parties right now, and some of that is power conscious, and I know we used to call it Potomac fever when we were kids. I mean, they would go up to Washington and then they get away from their home values and the voices of the people that actually put them there. And they start seeing things in a different perspective. Although we've had a lot of great leaders out there.
Oh, sure.
You can't throw all of them in one package.
That's a tough job.
It is the toughest job in the world. There's no doubt about it. But to go through all of this where your house is an open book and all that stuff, it's tough because there are no perfect people in this world. But we want that one individual that's perfect for this particular position is what we need.
Yeah, we definitely need somebody that can, like you say, restore some of those old values and help create jobs and put people to work and give them some hope.
Now, I know where we can go. We can go to Woodbury in the Cannon County. And do they still, they don't whittle around the square, do they, like we used to?
No, they'll do a little spitting and whittling.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We need some of that common sense approach is what we need.
And I have to agree with that. We're in a sad shape 24/7, screaming at one another politically. When I'm asked to speak to in universities and high schools, I stress that listening is equal to the gift of writing as a journalist. And in America right now, we're not listening to one another. We're just shouting.
That's it.
And that's one Dan's opinion.
Oh, did you say something? I'm sorry.
You know, a good example of what you just said, Dan, about shouting, and there's something about her, I have to say, she has a real passion for these abused kids, but Nancy Grace, and I'm not going to say that I don't like Nancy Grace. I think she's got a lot of heartfelt convictions, but one thing, habit she has that I don't like, if she's got someone on her show who disagrees with her, she'll just very rudely cut them off right there on the spot, and I don't like that. That's a little bit of a bully tactic to me.
Well, basically, when somebody does that, it means that the only opinion that counts is hers, unless you agree with her.
And y'all have all seen her do that.
And
well, I don't watch her.
Well, okay.
And this is the political arena right now. And if you don't agree with my viewpoint, you're out.
And we're going to take a quick break and let you know that this part of the show is brought to you by Stan McNabb Automotive. And they provide quality vehicles from Chevrolet, Dodge, Jeep, Ford, and Cadillac to the Murfreesboro, McMinnville, and Shelbyville, Tennessee area. Their large selection ensures that they have a vehicle for everyone, no matter what it is you're looking for. And for a quality used car in Tullahoma, visit their dealership located at 2000 North Jackson Street. They have a large inventory of pre-owned cars, trucks, SUVs, and minivans to select from. At Stan McNabb Automotive, They pride themselves in the quality that they offer on all of their used cars, which makes them a major destination for used vehicles. And only at Stan McNabb can you get free oil changes and free tires for the life of that vehicle.
Is Good Neighbor Events, brought to you by the Omni Hut Restaurant in Smyrna, AmeriCare Pest Control, and the Rutherford Home Show, Saturday mornings at 11:30 on WGNS.
I've got pesties, buzzing rodents running all through my house. Ants chewing wood, and look, there's a mouse. I've overrun with pests, but you're gonna be sure, safe and secure. It's the last rites for those pests. Call the best of the best to get rid of your pests.
893-7111. AmeriCare Services Incorporated. Call us today. 893-7111.
Let's look ahead and see what's happening in our community. If you love musicals, Guys and Dolls is showing through January the 22nd at the Center for the Arts in Uptown Murfreesboro. For more information, call the Center for the Arts at 904-ARTS. And now through January the 14th, you're encouraged to recycle those Christmas trees. Be sure to take the tinsels and decorations off, and if you live in Murfreesboro, put them right there on the curb or take them over to the farmer's market. The drop-off point for listeners in the Smyrna area is the Lee Victory Park. Once again, this is now through January the 14th. Make those New Year's resolutions to get fit and lose weight come true. Right now, through the end of the month, buy your tickets to SportsCom and the Patterson Community Center at 25% off. You better hurry. That's through the end of this month only. You need to make a note of this. On Saturday, January the 14th, a Celtic band concert at the Barfield Crescent Park. And it's free. The Secret Commonwealth performs. The gates open at 5:30 and the music starts at 6:30. That's Saturday, January 14th at the Barfield Crescent Park. And we say thank you to the Murfreesboro Parks and Recreation Department for this great service. And those are Good Neighbor Events.
Hello, this is Truman Jones. We have a new sponsor and one that you're going to be delighted with. It's National Healthcare, National Healthcare Corporation right here in Murfreesboro, Tennessee. And this is where life is celebrated. Discover a different kind of care, one that ensures that you're surrounded by people who make a difference in your life. In 11 states, patients and residents feel right at home at National Healthcare Corporation's more than 130 affiliated healthcare centers and home care offices. Their family of facilities delivers exceptional rehabilitative skilled nursing and extended care in locations that are close to home and family. In line with their longtime commitment to provide a continuum of care to those who need their services at any age. And want to let you know that this is a local business started here, even though it's pretty much all through the Southeast. National Healthcare, Murfreesboro, where life is celebrated.
Weather Eye.
A wind advisory continues through this evening. Lots of sunshine this afternoon, high and low 40s with strong northwest winds. Tonight, clear, low of 19. I'm WGNS meteorologist Laura Lockwood. Right now, it's 36.
Smoked wings, barbecue, the redneck nachos, you know what I'm talking about. It's Kirk and Burt Smokehouse Grill on Kaysen Lane. Stop on in. Each day, they've got great specials for you. Kirk and Burt Smokehouse Grill on Kaysen Lane here in Murfreesboro.
He knows Rutherford County as good as anybody. Truman Jones. It's the Truman Show here on WGNS AM and FM.
Good afternoon, Truman. Today, in honor of your one-year anniversary on the air, we have a little bit of a surprise for you, Mr. Wow. Bart Walker.
Truman, just wanted to add that after a full year of having Truman on the radio, you have brought many hours of fun for a lot of people in the community, bringing back memories, also giving us new information on new things that are happening. And
oh,
as a
goodness.
Memento
thank
of this,
you, Bart.
Wanted to present that
oh, that's beautiful. That is nice.
With your name on it and a commemoration saying thank you for 1 year of memories.
Oh, I will keep this forever. I really appreciate that. It's beautiful.
It has turned into a great program, by the way.
Well, I tell you what, it was well worth it to have you buy my lunch today. we went over to Demas, and Dan was, I was so glad to have him with us today, and Scott, of course. And you know, it turned out to be really super. I enjoyed the conversation. I enjoy the fellowship. I enjoy your friendship. And to be able to see Mr. Fain Haynes over there on his 90th birthday.
What a great day.
It was.
And did you find any great pictures over at the lake? I know you all went to the lake afterwards.
We went by to see if we could find a couple of swans, and we actually saw them. We couldn't get out of the car where we were, so Dan could take one of his famous pictures. But it was absolutely a gorgeous scene over there where the swan and two swans and the geese were up there. It was beautiful right here off of Braidable Pike.
Yeah,
he does. But
he tried showing them on the radio the other day.
You know, here I am. I feel like I'm sitting in history. I mean, from you guys will be known forever, Bart, with your radio show and all of that. And then and now the airways, of course, you're taping all of this right now.
Right,
it's just like, you know, when you used to read the paper and you'd be able to keep that forever in memories. We've got the same thing with radio now, which I think is great.
Well, congratulations, and we're so proud to have you with us.
Thank you, Bart. Nobody's going to sing or anything? That's it, huh?
Dan, you sing.
Thanks, Zach.
That was very nice.
Oh, yeah. Okay, I'm holding my...
That looks like a small version of the Super Bowl MVP trophy, Truman.
Actually, I feel like the Super Bowl MVP right now.
Well, you've got a good show. You got an informative show. You got an entertaining show. You put together a good talk show.
Well, and everybody thought it wouldn't last over a day or two. In fact, I wasn't too sure. But
well, your first guest was a little
shaky. And the good
thing
about it really was. I mean, you were just like the kindling for the fire when you came on that first day. It started building up, and the fire keeps on growing.
No way but up after,
yeah,
after
that's
I was
exactly
the first
right.
guest. I hear you.
Now, we were talking about Hinckley a minute ago. Is he still in the penitentiary, or how does he stand?
Mental
right now?
Hospital, a federal mental hospital in Washington. However, the hospital is wanting to get rid of him, mm-hmm. and they're wanting him released without any supervision whatsoever. The prosecutors in Washington are opposing it. However, there's a judge in Washington that has given him more than one unsupervised visits with his mother in Virginia. She lives in a gated community, mm-hmm. and in Virginia. She's 95, I understand. So he's about to be released, I would guess, back onto society. They say he's been cured.
Now that... all right, you said unsupervised visitation. Does that mean that there are people that actually pick him up and are responsible for him during the time that he's away from the
Now he does not even have to wear a bracelet or an ankle
that's
bracelet.
Amazing. Now he comes from a fairly wealthy family.
All
you and Mike
family.
Were talking about off the air,
and Mike came across this information. There's a connection, more than one connection, to the Hinckley family to Nashville, and the Hinckley's brother attended Vanderbilt University here in Nashville.
Mm-hmm.
So but again, releasing this type of man, I mean, he shot a president, tried to shoot two presidents, and we're about to release him back into society. That doesn't compute to this country boy.
Well, you would have to ask the question, just where would he go and what would he do with his time?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that would be, to me, a very rudimentary question or questions that would have to be answered before you could do that in good faith.
He did not have a career in anything at all when he did the shooting, did he?
No.
He was mostly just a student. I don't even know where he was a
professional student.
Tried playing a little music, and I think maybe he went to L.A., tried something out there.
Yeah, and he wanted to be an entertainer.
I would think Jodie Foster would be very uneasy about him getting out at this time.
Absolutely.
She could still be a target, because I would think that image that he has of her still hasn't changed.
Well, another thing that the court systems have to consider is he's supposedly been over this fixation of Jodie Foster a long, long time now. A couple of years ago, they found more than 75 pictures of Jodie Foster under his mattress in the mental institution.
Now, how in the world did he get those?
Who knows? But anyway, you think he's over his fixation with Jodie Foster with 75 hidden pictures?
Well, and you know, to add a little bit of a pun on that, the fact that you make a point that he's obviously not over his fixation, but you add to that he didn't have any more sense than to hide them under his mattress to where they're obviously going to be found, that tells you that he's a little bit reckless in his thought process one way or another.
I know. But, Truman, you have an interesting perspective on security, people staying safe, protecting the public and everything. But our society is open to these type of individuals, are we not? Because of the freedoms that our Constitution guarantees.
You're almost made, if you're a public figure, we could go back to when John F. Kennedy was assassinated. He had the option of riding in a vehicle that would be considered, I guess, in the most elementary way, a bulletproof vehicle. Mm-hmm. And so he could have been out of harm's way. But fortunately or unfortunately, depends on how you look at it, you're almost made to be out. It's already predetermined that you're going to have to be out with the people because we're not going to feel very comfortable with someone that we're trying to elect not being out there among us, and so that we can kind of look at them as much as we can, hear them, and a lot of times looks and perception are what we make our determinations on.
Sure.
A lot of it is not really coming from the hard sources of how smart this guy is and what he's actually looking at. And that's the shame of it all, because in this day of just mass media, we pretty much judge a person by how they come across. And I think the very first presidential race that we had, that the media had a lot to do with, was the Kennedy-Nixon race, because up until the time that they had the debate, if my understanding is correct, I think Nixon had a substantial edge on Kennedy, but after that debate, it flip-flopped.
And, you know, that's still a controversy. This is getting off the subject a little bit, but that 1960 election is still, you know, in some circles, a very controversial one, that the Chicago mob helped rig the polls. You remember that's been written about.
I think we've all read all of that. Yes, yes.
And the now, as a former law enforcement in Middle Tennessee here, you've dealt with a lot of mentally ill people, especially the VA hospital being here. Mm-hmm. I first met you the first time I ever met Truman Jones, the sheriff. There was a VA patient that had armed himself and isolated in a house out at Leanna. And your young officers.
We were all young back then.
And some of them wanted to assault the house and go in and get it over with quickly and everything. But you held everybody back.
Why would they want to assault the house? The house hadn't done anything.
Well, you know what I'm talking about. But anyway, you held them back. Y'all showed patience, mm-hmm. and walked the man out. Mm-hmm. Nobody got hurt, including law enforcement officers.
We were fortunate. It doesn't always turn out that way. But you have to have patience in almost everything that you do in law enforcement, where you're dealing either on a traffic stop or all these other things. You have to always keep in mind almost everything that could or can go on. But you always, when you're a law enforcement officer, you're a servant of the people. That's what a lot of people don't understand. A lot of law enforcement officers are killed in the line of duty simply because of that one factor. When you go up to, you always have to be mindful. You have to be careful. You have to be aware of your safety and the other person's safety. But when you are still mindful that your first duty is to the people. And it's protect and to serve, I think, is what they usually put on the side of cars. But a lot of times it'll get law enforcement officers in trouble. And it's not unusual for a law enforcement officer to be killed or assassinated by someone that they know fairly well, and they have complete confidence that this person is not going to harm them, and then it'll turn on them.
Well, the mental illness thing is what I wanted to question you about as a former law enforcement man. Did y'all, as law enforcement people here, take into account that we have a population of mentally ill former soldiers? We have the mental hospital at the VA, the York VA hospital here, that has a psychiatric ward. Did y'all program yourselves? Did y'all take this into consideration that you'd have to deal patiently with these type of people? Or
dealt with quite a few over the years. I remember one that had escaped from the VA hospital, and this is a long time ago. And we found him on the side of the road. He had walked away, and the guy was huge. I mean, he could whip a bear with his bare hands. And you could tell he was disturbed. But it's amazing what a calm voice and someone who looks like they're in control can do when you walk up to somebody like that and say, sir, we just got a call that you've left your home out at the VA, and they're very concerned about you, and we would like for you to return home, and we will give you a ride back. And it's just something as simple as that. Now, it does, like I say, those things don't always work, but you have to give it a try. And for the most part, they are. They're nervous, they're on edge. They've just got a little bit out of kilter there for that time. And if you can just give them a calm voice, a lot of times that's all they need. But you know, our veterans have been through a lot.
Yes, they have.
And when they go out there and put their lives on their line, and in some cases they've suffered physically and mentally, they're doing that for us. And you always have to be mindful of those type things. And yes, most law enforcement officers are aware and know how to handle those things. And plus, they have phone calls to people that they know that are professional in handling those type situations. And they have people that they can go to.
You know, one of the projects that I'm involved with right now to benefit the veterans and their families, I think America a lot of times forgets the families. We've got to help them, too.
They're suffering, too.
And we're involved in raising money right now for the Fisher House to be constructed.
Which I'm tickled to death about that.
In the spring. It's going to be 12 marvelous units. Mm-hmm. And the veterans and their families, as long as they're getting medical care here or at the VA in Nashville, they stay free, whether it's a week, whether it's 2 years. I've been to other Fisher House facilities. They are nice. It's like a Ronald McDonald's house. Mm-hmm. And so anybody that would be interested in making a tax-exempt donation, they could drop it by the radio station here. We'd be glad to pick it up. But it's a very worthy cause. We're like about $600,000 having all the money collected. We've raised over $1.6 million.
Will the Fisher House come close to taking care of the number of families that come in here for regular visits with their veteran, whether it be here? And I didn't realize that when you were doing that it also encompassed Nashville. I thought maybe Davidson County had their own Fisher House.
There's a debate within the volunteers system that's doing the Fisher House campaigns. I'm of the opinion we need 20 units instead of 12 units initially.
12 does seem small for as many veterans that we have in both of the places.
You've got two VA hospitals that, you know, is going to be sending patients in and out. Mm-hmm. And so I was hoping for 20 units.
In fact, I think we had talked earlier that they thought it might be 20 when you and Hooper Pena were on.
We do have the ground designated, secured on the VA grounds. Mm-hmm. It's going to be over by Compton Road on that corner.
When are they going to break ground?
Spring.
Okay. Is that when they will do the dedication to it
yes.
and everything?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And, do you seem to have a number of responders here in Rutherford County that are willing?
Absolutely, and we've had strong response from the Upper Cumberland and Warren County, Woodbury, Cookeville.
Yeah.
Crossville.
Mm-hmm.
We've had, Mike can address, there's a strong interest in Warren and
Thomas Vaughn in particular.
In McMinnville.
Right, in McMinnville. Thomas, he's a retired colonel and very active and pro, let's help disabled veterans and their families. I was in the military. I'm not a disabled veteran, but I see these young boys coming back from places like Iraq and Afghanistan blown to bits, and there's not enough there for them and their families.
Now, the VA hospital here in Murfreesboro, is there kind of like does it serve people in Middle Tennessee only, or do they come from all over?
Anywhere in America. This hospital serves over 100,000 VA patients a year, and it's part of the Upper Valley system. County Nashville and the York VA, it's one of the most used facilities outside of Washington in VA medical care.
So the people travel from
all over.
Now, what is the difference between the VA hospital in Nashville and the VA hospital in Murfreesboro?
We tend to long-term patients in Murfreesboro, a lot of psychiatric patients in Murfreesboro. The VA in Nashville, associated with Vanderbilt Hospital, Research Hospital, that's actual more care for current illness, diseases.
And surgery and those type things.
Yeah.
Okay, we're going to take a quick break and let you know that this portion of the show is brought to you by At Home Care. And that's Melissa Warren's business. And they're at 237 Castlewood Drive, Suite H. And that's right behind the Kroger's on Memorial Boulevard. And you can reach them at 713-4639 or pull them up on the internet, www.athomecaretennessee.com. And they come into your home when you're no longer able to take care of the normal duties there. And this is 24/7. They take care of everything inside your home, and they actually run errands for you. They want to make sure that you're taken care of and being able to enjoy your life the way that you always have before.
Murfreesboro Medical Clinic is more than just a clinic. It's the doctors you can trust, a technician you can believe in, and a staff member who goes the extra mile. From the time someone walks in our doors, the difference becomes evident. All of our resources are used to improve the healthcare experience of our patients, and we have been a part of Rutherford and surrounding counties for over 60 years. Murfreesboro Medical Clinic.
Did you get storm damage from the hailstorm? If you're not familiar with the process, making an insurance claim due to the recent hailstorm might seem confusing. Matthew H. from North Murfreesboro said, quote, Millennium Roofing has a certified insurance adjuster on staff. They insisted on being present when our adjuster examined our home. Now that's what I call service, end quote. Millennium Roofing is a local family-owned company and has an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau. Millennium Roofing and Construction, 525-6725 or millenniumroofingtn.com.
Southeastern Tire of Murfreesboro has the right tires for your vehicle. Perhaps you're a rugged individual who enjoys off-roading. They have a tire for you. Or maybe you're a rap star driving around on 26-inch rims. They have a tire for that. You're a mom who's in the carpool lane daily. They have a tire for your minivan. Let's say you're a wealthy trial lawyer who drives a Lamborghini. Yes, they have a tire for you too. Maybe you drive one of those new electric vehicles. Hey, they have a tire for you. Southeastern Tire Service has a tire for every personality. They're on Broad Street, a tire or two away from Chevy of Murfreesboro.
Hi, I'm Dr. Britt Miaton, a cardiologist with St. Thomas Heart at Middle Tennessee Medical Center. Did you know that St. Thomas Heart is Middle Tennessee's number one rated heart program? At MTMC, we offer comprehensive services for the treatment and prevention of heart disease. From early diagnosis to minimally invasive surgical procedures, St. Thomas Heart at MTMC offers you heart care close to home. For information, visit heartasone.com or call 867-5028.
HGTV, the leader in home design and know-how, has joined Shaw Floors, the leader in flooring and City Tile and Floor Covering, the largest flooring retailer in our area, to bring you HGTV Home Flooring by Shaw Collection. Doug Young with City Tile.
Come to City Tile and see the new selections of the HGTV products exclusively at City Tile.
Your HGTV Home Flooring by Shaw authorized retailer. Visit citytile.net. City Tile and Floor Covering.
Weather Eye.
A wind advisory continues through this evening. Lots of sunshine this afternoon, high and low 40s with strong northwest winds. Tonight, clear, low of 19. I'm WGNS meteorologist Laura Lockwood. Right now, it's 36.
The good neighbor of the day today is Regina Dorsey. Regina works in the Murfreesboro City Hall in the tax office. Today, Regina is going to receive free flowers, compliments of Ryan's Flower Shop, after being nominated the good neighbor of the day.
Before the cold winter wind blows, be sure to take care of your car. Bring it by and let us check the battery and coolant. We'll do a complete car check, look at tires, wipers, and more to make sure it's safe for the road. That's Todd's Complete Auto Care. We're on Southeast Broad Street, 962-9050.
The Truman Show now continues on the voice of Rutherford County, WGNS, AM and FM.
And welcome back with Dan Whittle and Mike Benson. Mike, you have written a book on the Martin Luther King assassination.
Well, okay, and what you say, Truman, is true to a point. Let me clarify something. The book, the actual authors are Jerry Ray, brother of James Earl Ray,
right.
And Tamara Carter, a historian researcher. I did provide considerable research for the book and am recognized for such.
Mm-hmm.
The name of the book is A Memoir of Injustice.
Mm-hmm.
And again, the authors are Jerry Ray and Tamara Carter, and it can be published, it can be purchased at Amazon.com. And actually, if you really want it, you can go to most any bookstore and just remember A Memoir of Injustice, mm-hmm. authors Jerry Ray and Tamara Carter, and they can order it for you.
You know, we were talking earlier, I am surprised there hasn't been a movie made of that particular situation, because you know it was one of the things that hit us all so hard when it happened. I mean, across the country, and it was one of those events that you always remember where you were at the time. I remember where I was when it happened.
I was in the saloon at Poplar Bluff, Missouri.
Were you able to concentrate enough to know what had happened?
I was there doing research, of course.
You know, there is a movie screenplay being shopped around mm-hmm. about the King assassination. Mm-hmm. Probably more than one. Mm-hmm. I know for a fact that there's one being shopped around, and I think there needs to be two sides showed. Mm-hmm. to the public, so the public can see the pros and the cons and it not be slanted, and they can arrive at their own judgment. I think we, American history and the people that are a part of American history, deserve to make their own decision.
You know, we're a nation that seems to be enthralled with the media, and we see all of these biographies that are movies about famous people, and we've grown up on that. Whether it be outlaws like James Gang and Billy the Kid, or famous people like Andrew Jackson or whatever.
Al Capone.
Yeah, Al Capone. But the thing about it is, when we see a movie, we're left with a perception.
That's right.
That what we just saw on the big screen was the truth.
That's right.
And it's actual. But the truth of the matter is there's probably very little truth in it. And I've got...
That's a good one.
There's one movie that came out, and we're talking about the assassination, that about J. Edgar Hoover.
Right.
Who I got to meet when I was about 8 years old. My aunt worked at the FBI, and she took me up to meet him. And one of the nicest people. I got to listen to him. Just he took time out of his day to see a little hick kid from Kittrell, Tennessee, that day, and spend some time with me. And I, that's kind of lasted a long time. But I have been told by one of my aunts that saw the movie. I think it's J. Edgar was the name of the movie.
It is the movie J. Edgar.
She told me not to go see it for the simple reason that it would make me angry.
Yeah.
Because I've known him and through my aunt that he was a really top-notch guy and built one of the most prestigious law enforcement agency in the world. I mean, he really did. And to take somebody like him and just slander him and make people, once they see that, they're going to believe it. I mean, look who our heroes were when we were growing up. I mean, Billy the Kid and Jesse James and all that, they built them bigger than life. And we were talking about something earlier about in the print and what you read, and you do that for the benefit of the readers, the journalists do. But I never will forget, and I think it was in the movie The Man Who Shot Liberty Valance. Mm-hmm. There's a newspaper in that movie. It's called the Shin Bone Star, if you remember. And one of the things the editor said as the movie got started, when Truth starts dueling pretty much with the legend, you print the legend. You don't print the truth, because it makes it bigger than life, and that's the way we want to perceive it. And that's one of the things that we've got going that's wrong right now. Yeah. Is people are getting their attention is skewed.
It's like a brainwash.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is skewed. I can say just from my years of research, nuts and bolts research into the King assassination and James Earl Ray's alleged role, I've come away from all of it with a great big lesson. I don't pass judgment on anyone or any allegation until I've talked to the people who have been accused, and I get their side first. Because up until that point, it's just a noise coming out of a mouth.
But we all have we're kind of rigid in our concepts, just like being at the sheriff's office for as long as I was. It's very rarely that you run into a prisoner who said, I was guilty.
Well, that's right.
You always have that in mind, even though there are some times that you do get more information when you deal with those people. And let's face it, there have been times when people have been locked up that were innocent. I mean, But in this day and time, you really do try to work real hard, because it's harder to convict a person right now than it used to be. Except for the ability now to have all the technology that's there. But you have to overcome the thing that the person that has been accused, he does not have to prove that he's innocent. The state has to prove that he's guilty. And sometimes you go above and beyond, which you should have to, because
sure.
You don't want anybody going to be locked up. And Zach is showing me that sign. And even though this is my anniversary date, I'm still going to have to listen to him. And this has been a really great show, guys. Dan.
Thank you, man.
Thank you so much for coming on again. It's always a pleasure. And Mike, I appreciate you coming with Dan today. You're a great writer. You do a good job. You research really, really well. And Ron Fryer is very lucky to have you guys working with him.
Boy, I hope Fryer's listening.
And I tell you what, he has a great judge of journalists. He really does.
Ron's good to work for.
Now, why are you rolling your eyes, Mike?
Oh, I was hoping you wouldn't catch that, but being the lawman you are, I should have known better.
Yes, yes.
Body language.
And Dan Whittle was agreeing with you.
Dan, we're caught.
Thank you for having us.
And tomorrow at 2 o'clock, we're going to have Keith Elrod from Rockvale, Tennessee, and we're going to be talking about bees, and that's going to be an interesting subject. See you tomorrow.
Peace to me.